When it comes to the traditional Latin Mass, a lot of Catholics are acting very pharisaical lately, but it might not be the Catholics that you expect. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine, your host here on Crisis Point. Before we get started, I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel. I do have a question, though. Why do people say smash the like button? Like, that's the thing that it must be a generational thing. I'm too old to understand, but if you're supposed to smash the like button instead of click it, go ahead and smash it or do whatever you want, but just like the video, subscribe to the channel. We really do appreciate it. You can find us on the various social media channels at Crisis Mag. We're on all the major ones. So just find us there. And we stream these on Tuesday afternoons. We stream these podcasts live on YouTube, Odyssey, Facebook, and Twitter. So catch us there live, or obviously on both Odyssey and YouTube. You can find the stream later and watch it later. Obviously, we're also going on all the podcast channels, all the audio podcast channels. So find us there, subscribe to us there. Okay, so I want to talk today about something that I've noticed recently when it comes to the attitude of many people towards the traditional Latin Mass, particularly those who are opposed in general to the promulgation of the traditional Latin Mass and people here going to it and it being offered at various places. And I came to this because of I've been reading through the Gospel of Matthew recently, and I've been reading the story from John. I don't know if I said Matthew earlier. I've been reading through the Gospel of John recently, and I was reading this story in John 5 in which Jesus heals the paralytic man on the Sabbath. And so I'm going to pull that up. I'm actually going to read this to you because this is, I think it's important because it's something that will be the basis for what I'm talking about today in this podcast. I think it's a lesson for us, a spiritual lesson for all of us. Okay, so this is John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Hebrew called Bethesda. The word there, by the way, could be Bethesda, Bethesda. There's actually debate on the actual name for it, and which it has five porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who was ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "The man who healed me said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your pallet and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working still, and I am working." This is why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his Father, making himself equal to God. Okay, so a few things I want to note here before we really get into the topic of today's podcast. One thing first is, when John typically says the Jews, he's meaning the Jewish leaders. So when he has a negative comment, for example, he says the Jews asked the man who was cured, he said to him, "Is the Sabbath?" He's typically talking about Jewish leaders, particularly most likely the Pharisees. He's most likely referring to Pharisees here, because this does seem, if you compare it to what the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke say, this is the type of thing, exactly the type of thing that the Pharisees would have a problem with. The Sadducees most likely would not have that big a deal with this, but the Pharisees, the lawyers and the scribes, this is exactly what they would say. But I want to note a few things. First, Jesus tells the man, he says, "Arise." He says, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." So we have three commands. First is to get up. The second is to take up your pallet, your mat, your bed, and walk. And the third is to walk. And so the first one is obviously the act of healing. in which Jesus heals the man. But then he tells him, go ahead and take up your pallet and walk. Now, this violates the idea of carrying your mat, your pallet on the Sabbath. That's a violation of the Jewish rules at the time. Now, note, this was a man-made rule. This was not actually part of divine law that you couldn't take up your pallet and walk during on the Sabbath. This is one of the man-made rules that the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders had implemented. And so he is breaking this man-made rule. There's no question about that. This man is by carrying his pallet on the Sabbath is breaking one of the Sabbath rules. And what you notice, though, is that the Jews, they don't even comment on the fact that Jesus healed this man. So Jesus tells him, rise, take up your pallet, and walk. And the Jew says, basically says, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your pallet. They don't even mention, like, oh, by the way, great that you were healed. And the man, though, answers them and says, the man who healed me said to me, take up your pallet and walk. And St. Thomas Aquinas talks about this, and he says that basically what he's saying here is, this guy, whoever he is, he healed me, which means he has divine powers, which means he has the authority to tell me to take up my pallet and walk. But notice the Jewish leaders, they come back and say, who is the man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? They don't say, like, you know, oh, wait a minute, somebody healed you? Hold on a second, let's take a step back here and praise God that you were healed. No, they still focus on taking up your pallet and walk. And, you know, the fact that he took up his pallet and walked. And then later, when Jesus goes back and finds him in the temple, and he says, see, you're all sin no more, let nothing worse befall you. The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who healed him. Notice that the man doesn't go back to the Jewish leader and said, this is the person who told me to take up my pallet and walk. Again, he's focused on the healing because that's what's most important to him, is the fact that he was healed after being sick and invalid for 38 years. Now he is healed. He's still focused on the healing. But again, it's the Jewish leaders. They're focused on the violation of the man-made rule of the Sabbath. And so I want to make sure that we see this very clearly. This is going to be kind of the analogy I use for today's church. So the fact is that the man was healed of a long-time sickness. He violates then a man-made rule under the command of Jesus, and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, all they're focused on is that violation of that man-made rule. They're blind to the healing. They do not hear. They do not see the healing. They refuse to see that. All they see is the violation of their man-made rule. Okay, so now let me talk about the context of this. Not this passage, but why I'm bringing it up today. Now, as many of you know, I appeared on the two episodes of Mass of the Ages, which is a film. For those who haven't seen, I highly recommend, go to YouTube, watch it. They both had over 1 million views, both episodes. And it's basically a documentary about the traditional Latin Mass. And I appeared very shortly in both of them. But because I appear in them, I have people come up to me after Mass often, or very, you know, Catholic situations, and they know that. They know they've seen me on that video and they tell me their stories. And I just want to say, first of all, I absolutely love this. I feel so privileged and honored when somebody comes up to me and tells me their story about how they've drawn closer to our Lord, how they have grown in their faith because of going to traditional Latin Mass. I honestly feel very honored when they tell me these stories. And it's probably the best part of my week anytime somebody does this. And so I've heard different stories. Now, I don't want to violate the privacy of different people who've told me this. So these stories are all true, but I might change some details here. And I'm not going to give a lot of details because I just want to protect their privacy. But I mean, for example, I know somebody who she just attended Novus Ordo always. And then after COVID, during the COVID lockdowns and after the COVID restrictions, she started to attend a traditional Latin Mass. And she said the absolute first time she went, she said to herself, I can't go anywhere else. I have to go here. This is it. This is everything that I believe. This is what, to me, is the fullness of the Catholic faith. Now, I know a lot of people, including myself, don't have that experience the first time they go. But that's what happened to this woman, that she immediately recognized the beauty of the traditional Latin Mass, and it touched her soul, and it brought her closer to our Lord. It brought her deeper into her Catholic faith. Another story of a man who, he was in a marriage that was not doing well. We'll just say that. The wife was not attending Mass. He was not, he was attending Mass and he believed, but the wife wasn't. But he started attending the traditional Latin Mass, and it really deepened his faith, and it brought him to a deeper understanding of what it meant to be a Catholic husband. And because of this, then he started to act more like a Catholic husband, and he really started praying for his wife, and now his wife attends. And he really credits a lot of this to attending the traditional Latin Mass. She attends now. She loves it. She's trying to get her family to attend. That's another story that I've heard. Another one I know of is a woman who experienced a number of pregnancy losses, where she had a number of miscarriages, and it really was a struggle to her faith, understandably so. And she started to, her husband and her family started attending the traditional Latin Mass for various reasons, not because of this, just it happened. And it really strengthened her faith. It really helped her to return to a fullness of the Catholic faith. She was attending Novus Ordo, and that wasn't really happening. But then when she started to attain the traditional Latin Mass, it really, the beauty of it, the graces that she received on it, really did help her to deepen her faith and really return, in a sense. She never really left officially. She continued to attend Mass, but it really did help her to recover and to draw closer to the Lord in her sufferings. And that's really essentially what it was. Now, that's just, I could go on for the next hour with different stories like that. And if you talk to the people who make the Mass of the Ages documentaries, they could go on for probably weeks telling stories like this. And this is not uncommon. I hear this often. I hear stories like this all the time of people who have deepened their faith again. They've strengthened their marriages. They've drawn closer to our Lord. And they themselves credit it to the traditional Latin Mass and attending the traditional Latin Mass. A lot of times the reason they started attending the traditional Latin Mass was for, had nothing to do with like they were seeking it out. It's more like they fell accidentally into it. Maybe that the local traditional Latin Mass had less restrictions during COVID than their Novus Ordo parish did. Maybe it was just a friend invited them. Maybe, whatever the reasons might be, they just started to attend it. But ultimately what they found was it was such a beautiful thing, and it was something that helped them draw closer to Jesus. And of course, that is what our faith is all about. That's what the Catholic faith is about, is drawing closer to our Lord, deepening our faith in Jesus Christ, drawing closer to him in the sacraments, living a more holy life in our marriages, in our whatever our vocation might be. And like I said, I've just heard this so often now, particularly in the last couple of years. And I think it's because, like I said, people will come up to me and tell me these stories because they see me in Mass of the Ages. So I know I hear probably more stories than the average person, but I do hear them all the time. Now, before I continue, just one tangent. I'm not saying that people don't draw closer to Jesus Christ by attending the Novus Ordo. I'm not saying that the Novus Ordo is invalid. I'm not saying that it sends people away from Christ or anything like that. I am just giving the reality of what I'm hearing. The reality is that a lot of people, their local Novus Ordo parish is not feeding them, to use the Protestant term. It's not drawing them closer into a relationship with the Lord. It's not helping them in their vocations. It's simply, it's honestly a burden to them in a way that they have to endure going to the local Novus Ordo parish. Yes, it's valid. Yes, it's the Eucharist. Yes, I know we could give arguments all day long and night about how they should just be, they're still receiving graces and they should just be able to handle it or whatever. I get that. But, you know, a lot of us, we're just not that strong. And we find going to traditional Latin Mass helps us escape from the problems of the world, the problems in our life, and just escape from that and be focused completely on our Lord. And when we go to a Novus Ordo Mass at your typical Novus Ordo parish, I'm not even saying there aren't good Novus Ordo parishes out there. There are, and God bless them, and praise God for them. But the average, normal, no assorto parish, you go to it and it's not escaping from the world. You hear social justice messages. You hear music that really does not lift you out of this world. It transports you back to the 1970s, maybe. You hear just homilies that don't inspire you, don't challenge you, don't encourage you to really live differently from the world. When you enter into a traditional Latin mass, you know it's different. You know you've escaped the world for at least a moment, and it gives you that strength to go back out. And a lot of times that's simply not the case for a lot of people when they go to their typical Novus Ordo parish. The TLM, what it does is it's tapping, for these people at least, it's tapping to the deepest part of what it means to be Catholic, and it's allowing them to really live their Catholic faith in a way they never thought possible. And this is just the reality. This is just the way it is. And you, as much as somebody hates the traditional Latin mass, they have to acknowledge this is the way it is. If they say, oh, that should happen in Novus Ordo, maybe it should. Maybe it should, but it's not. It's not.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Playlist shuffled? Check. Drinks on ice? Check. Z-Biotics? Make the most of your time with friends by starting your evening with Z-Biotics, the only pre-alcohol probiotic designed to make those rough mornings after drinking alcohol a thing of the past. Z-Biotics is key for those who live for the moment. Visit zbiotics.com to learn more.
And so what we see is there's a real big difference between the reality on the streets, in the pews, between that and what we get in the online liturgy wars. Because whenever the traditional Latin mass is brought up online, including on this video probably, you get a lot of fighting, you get arguments, you get, and both sides, every side is to blame on some level. But the attacks I see on the traditional Latin mass online, they're so divorced from the reality of what's actually happening in the pews. And it really comes back to that passage I read from John. It's focused on the man-made rules. Hey, the Pope doesn't want us going to the traditional Latin Mass. That's true, he doesn't. The Pope is trying to restrict it. Bishops are restricting it. You shouldn't be doing this. They're focused completely on, like, are you doing this or aren't you doing this? Are you following the rules or aren't you? And there's no concept of the healing that's going on in souls. And so, like, a great example is just yesterday, I saw there's an article in, where was it? I think it was an English Catholic magazine or newspaper or something, liberal. And it was railing on, attacking the fact that there's a sacred liturgy conference happening in a couple weeks in San Francisco. And it was basically, these are all the people that Pope Francis has said is the problem. Look, they're having a conference. How terrible is that? And Archbishop Corleone's going to be there. He's going to celebrate traditional Latin Mass. Oh no, this is awful. Here is a conference that its intention is simply to draw people closer to Christ through the liturgy. And somehow this is a problem. Let's focus on the fact that they might be breaking a man-made rule. They might be breaking Traditionis Custodis, or at least breaking the spirit of Traditionis Custodis, if not the letter of the law. Let's focus on that. Let's not look at the fact that people are drawing closer to our Lord. You see that, I saw that with some of the criticisms of the Mass of the Ages documentary. The whole focus was on trying to find anything you could about the people who were featured in Mass of the Ages, people who were interviewed like me, people like Dr. Peter Kwasniewski, people like Father David Nix, other people like that, and Taylor Marshall, or whoever the case may be. Let's focus on anything we can about them, that how they've said things in the past that we don't like. Let's focus on that. Let's not focus on the fact that people are being healed through their attendance at the traditional Latin Mass. Let's focus only on what we think are problems, these people who are schismatics. We would call them schismatics. Also, we had an article in Crisis Magazine, I think it was last week, by Michael Warren Davis, the previous editor of Crisis Magazine, where he talked about a beautiful story of a widow in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., who at one of these listening sessions basically begged Cardinal Gregory. The rumor there in Washington, D.C. is that he's going to basically restrict the Latin Mass almost out of existence. And she was saying, she was saying how her parish, her traditional Latin Mass parish, She's had her kids baptized. She's, you know, her kids are raised there. They've lived their family life there. Her husband recently died. She said, my husband has been taken away. Don't take away the traditional Latin Mass. And I don't know how anybody can hear that and not be struck by the beauty of it, struck by the tragedy that would happen, the sadness if the traditional Latin Mass was taken from her, her lifeblood, her lifeline to the faith right now. But of course, leftist Catholics were attacking her. How dare she speak like this? How dare she want this? This is actually an example why it's a problem. She thinks the traditional Latin Mass is necessary for her faith. She should be going to the local Novus Ordo parish. That should be fine for her. How dare she think she's better than anybody else? And that's not at all what her attitude was. Her attitude was, this is what's keeping me sane. This is what's keeping me Catholic. Don't take it away from me. And it's the same attitude, though, with the Pharisees had towards the healed man. He was focused on being healed. He wasn't focused on the man-made rules. He was focused on being healed. But the Pharisees, they wanted to attack him, just like the liberal Catholics, these leftist Catholics, are attacking this widow who has lost her husband because she's dependent upon the traditional Latin Mass. There's nothing wrong with being dependent upon the Mass of the Ages, the Mass that countless Catholics have heard, celebrated, attended for generations. Another thing that the reality on the street is away from is it's almost like, it's just the stereotype now that if you attend a traditional Latin Mass, you're basically schismatic or pseudo-schismatic, quasi-schismatic, something like that. You basically are a terrible Catholic because you hate Pope Francis and you're basically in schism with him. Well, here's the reality. Our parish has had a number of events recently. We always have socials after Mass where people hang out for a long time on Sundays. We had parish picnic recently. We had parish party for the Sacred Heart recently. Let me tell you the truth. Our conversations are not about Pope Francis. Our conversations aren't about attacking him and saying how terrible he is or anything like that. Our conversations are about politics, maybe like Roe v. Wade being overturned, rejoicing about that. That's been most recent. Our conversations are about things like homesteading, homeschooling, raising kids, talking about like, okay, what are you planting in your garden this year? What's working for you? What's not working for you? Hey, could you give me some tips on how to do this? Where did you buy your meat from recently? Did you like it? Things like that. That's what our conversations are about. Yes, sometimes Pope Francis comes up, sometimes, especially maybe after he does something like Traditionis Custodis. Yes, we talk about that. And yes, we do complain about it at times, but that doesn't dominate our conversations. That's not what we're talking about. That's one of the problems with online discourse is that people don't have a balanced view of what we're thinking. Like if you look at my Twitter account, yes, I do have criticisms often in my Twitter account, but that's not the reality in which I live. And that's not, and I would say the same is true of somebody, let's say just pick someone like Taylor Marshall. His Twitter account isn't his life. My Twitter account is not my life. This isn't how we live. And in real life, we talk about lots of different things. And that's very separate. So the reality of how traditional Latin Mass people live is not the same as the stereotype that we're given by people online, but also, let's be honest, by people like the Pope and the bishops. The fact is that it seems to me, this is my perspective, is that the vast majority of bishops and the Pope do not listen to actual people who attend the traditional Latin Mass and what it means for them. The bishops are just too busy listening to the Pope and only the Pope. Instead of being shepherds of their sheep, they're only trying to follow orders of their Pope. And the Pope is not listening to us. That's obvious because whenever he talks about traditionalists or restorationists, whatever he wants to call them, it's so divorced from reality. It's clear he has no relationship with people who actually attend the traditional Latin Mass on a regular basis. He couldn't, because what he talks about has nothing to do with how we live. And there's the irony here, of course, is that Pope Francis and many of the bishops who really support him have talked so much about being a listening church, having our listening sessions and our listening synod, and how we have to listen to the sheep and we have to listen to what they say. They're not listening to us. I know that for a fact. They're not listening to people who attend the traditional Latin Mass and who have fallen in love with it and find it a lifeline to drawing them closer to Christ. They're not listening to that. There's only an ideological outlook. And that's exactly what the Pharisees had in the passage from John 5. There is the ideological outlook of, okay, we believe this is the best way. Now, they might have good intentions in the sense that they're saying, we believe this is the best way to follow Christ. We believe this is the best way to be Catholic. But it becomes this ideological way, that outlook, so that anybody who dares to deviate even slightly from that, they're attacked. They're accused of breaking man-made rules. They're accused of not being good Catholics. There's no focus on the fact that, wait a second, this person actually is living the Catholic faith the best of their ability. They're trying to be good fathers, trying to be good wives, trying to be good children. And it's a traditional Latin Mass is really helping them to do that. Maybe we should look at that and change our ideology, change it and say that maybe this isn't the only way. This is one of the reasons why you'll never hear me talk about the Novus Ordo Mass like every single parish, Novus Ordo parish, is evil or doesn't help people or anything like that. I know there are Novus Ordo parishes that are doing good work. And again, praise God for them. I just know also that there are lots and lots of them that are not doing good work and are leading people astray, or people are not being encouraged in their faith and they're falling away. The numbers just make that very clear, but also my experience, I've seen it time and time again. But what needs to happen is that the Pope, the bishops, leftist Catholics, they need to stop being Pharisees and just looking at, oh, there's a rule in place. We have to follow it to the letter, even if by doing so, we're going to damage the faith of Catholics who are striving for holiness. We don't care about that because all that matters is the rules. I mean, if that's not pharisaical, I don't know what is. I brought this up on Twitter, and Kennedy Hall made the great point that people think that pharisaical means traditional. No, it means legalistic. That's what it means. And if anybody's being legalistic, it's those who are trying to shove traditio custodis down all our throats and saying, you're breaking the Pope's rules by attending traditional Latin Mass or wanting traditional Latin Masses to be said. When the fact is, what we're saying is, no, we see healing. We see people drawing closer to Christ, having better family life, being better husbands, better wives, better fathers, better mothers, all these things. And the people themselves are saying it's because of the traditional Latin Mass. And so I really think that is something that we need to look at very carefully. So if we go back to the passage from John, the Gospel of John, we see that, again, Jesus says, rise, take up your pallet and walk. He is saying to him, I am healing you, and I'm now commanding you to do something that does violate man-made rules. But the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, all they could see is, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your pallet. Today, what they're saying is, it is not lawful for you to go against the spirit or the letter of traditio custodis. It doesn't matter if you are healed. It doesn't matter if you're a better Catholic now. It doesn't. None of that stuff matters. All that matters is you're breaking this man-made rule. And it is a man-made rule. Just to be clear, the fact that the Pope made this motu proprio does not make it divine law. For those who understand Catholic theology, you know this very clearly. The Pope's word is not divine law. Now, sometimes he will speak and say something that is divine law, or say, you know, something that is a divine revelation. But when he makes rules like this, that's not divine law. This is a man-made rule. And it doesn't mean we violate every man-made rule. Man-made rules are often good. They're done for a purpose. But if people are really being healed and drawn closer to Jesus Christ, that's the priority. That's what we look at before anything else. It's very easy. The irony is it's so easy to call TLM goers Pharisees, to just call them the Pharisees, because there's this idea that if you love tradition, then you're a Pharisee. Ultimately, though, the real Pharisees today are those who are placing man-made laws above healing in Jesus Christ. That's what the real Pharisees are, and that's what they're doing. That's what people are doing. The bishops who are restricting the Latin Mass, the leftist Catholics who are mad when they don't restrict the Latin Mass, or mad when people are encourage or going to the Latin Mass, that's the real Pharisees. So what do we need to do? We need to focus. The reminder to us here is, whether you attend the traditional Latin Mass or you attend the Novus Ordo, The priority is souls. The priority is healing of souls, the salvation of souls. I've mentioned this many times in the past. I'll mention it again. The last canon of canon law says that basically canon law, the purpose of it is for the salvation of souls. Every law has to be interpreted. Every rule has to be interpreted with that in sight. Otherwise, we are just being like the Jewish leaders. And so we have to look at something like Traditio et Custodes with that outlook of we're caring about souls more than anything else. We're not going to worry about online battles. We're not going to worry about Pharisees in leftist Catholic clothing where they're just focused on these little minute rules or things, something like that. We're focused on souls. So we're promoting those things and we're doing those things that help souls find salvation, help them to grow in holiness. And so I'm going to continue to promote the Latin Mass, Traditional Latin Mass, because I know it helps people. Again, I'm not denigrating the Novus Ordo by saying that. I'm just simply stating facts that the traditional Latin Mass is helping souls. So I'm going to continue to promote it because of that. If you have a Novus Ordo parish that's doing great work and is helping you draw closer to Christ, God bless you. But let's not denigrate those other things like the traditional Latin Mass that are also bringing people closer to Christ. Let's not be Pharisees and put those man-made rules above the salvation of souls. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I hope you enjoyed today's program. Until next time, everybody, God love you.